I'll go home and pack my clothes. You go get your these and those, and away we'll go. Off we're gonna shuffle, shuffle off to Buffalo.
Well, good morning. It's 5 a.m. on Wednesday, April 24th, and I am in Houston, about to board here shortly to go through Chicago on my way to Buffalo, New York for the annual Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic. That's right, the 4F convention again this year. Looks like it's going to be a good one. Steve Bergazzi is going to be the guest of honor this year. And I'm going to stop in Chicago, and Don Weiberg's going to meet up with me and be my roommate while we're at the convention. This should be a really fun one again this year. So, guys, stay tuned. I hope that I can stay up for the whole thing. My goodness, I got up at 0:30 this morning in order to get here in time and go through the TSA and everything else. My goodness. So, anyhow, I'm here awaiting my flight. So, see you on the other side. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells here for the Magic Word, podcast.com, and the dealer's room is starting to get put together, and I think Dan Garrett was the first one to get his stuff together over here, so I thought since he's got a moment to sit down, he would join us. So, hello, Dan.
Hello, hello. I just got less stuff than the other dealer. So.
But you got some new stuff that's part of your lecture tour going on right now. Tell us about that.
Well, the lecture tour is called Forward into the Past, and you did a podcast on that when I did it in Houston.
Right.
But I've got those things there, and which is new for this group, plus my new trick called Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-Z. It's a sponge ball routine with sponge hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins by making a shape of a heart with your hand. Your hands are empty, and you produce from thin air a sponge heart. It divides into two, and you do a sponge ball routine with a spectator where one heart vanishes from your hand and appears into her hand with the other heart. And it's very romantic. Two hearts are lonely, and they're joined together. And you have to give me the hearts back now. But remember, when you give someone your heart, there's real magic there. And so it's got a
two
nice
hearts
little,
can beat as one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's somebody else's line.
That sounds something like the creation of life. You had, like, I used to create an egg doing something similar to that.
Yes, I used the same gimmick, the sonata gimmick.
Right.
And I don't mind giving that away because it's a very nice application of that.
Right.
And in my palindrome lecture, I would produce an egg, a sponge egg from the sonata gimmick, and then crack it into a glass. So the switch was awesome, and it just looked like you produce an egg out of thin air and break it into a glass, and it's real. It was that straightforward.
Right, yeah, very clean handling and everything. So it's just kind of that was the genesis of the hearts.
Exactly, because I used a triangle shape with my hand to talk about to produce the egg. And then I found, of course, now you see the heart shape. That's what gave me the idea of having these produced. Goshman is making them. They're called ultra-soft sponge hearts. I have the dimensions and the exact shape of the heart was my own design, and he made a custom die just for those.
The super soft sponge thing.
Ultra-soft.
Yeah. Oh, ultra-soft.
Even better. Mm. It's got more memory. It's just as soft as super soft, but it pops open quicker.
Mm. Okay. So you're not making them like you are the teeth?
No. No.
Or bananas or anything.
No, please. I'm probably about done with those, almost.
Well, I want to ask you then also, of course, we're here at Fechter's, and you've been honored in the past. You and Gene Anderson were the dual honorees back in
2000, yeah.
It seems like.
2005, I think.
it was a while back.
Yeah, 91. Yeah, I remember.
Way back when. But also that I want to talk to you about your Doctor Conundrum.
Yes, I have a two-man show that I've written and directed, and it's produced by my partner Merritt Ambrose. It's called Doctor Conundrum's Cabaret of Miracles. It's Doctor Conundrum. It's Conundrum, which is not a timeshare flat in Florida. It's also not something the guys carry in their wallets, hoping to be lucky every 3 months.
It's a different conundrum.
A conundrum is a puzzle, a mystery, an enigma. And so I will take care of your brains, and then I talk about my boy Hans, who is a sort of a man-child. He's a fully grown man with the mind of a six-year-old.
Bipolar.
Yeah, he's bipolar. He's had a shady past that he doesn't remember, but he has episodes. I found him floating au naturel down the Chattahoochee River. when I remember cradling his tiny head in my hand. And this was just last year. So next year, we're going to both float naked down the Chattahoochee, and I get to play with my rubber ducky. So you see, this is a PG-13 kind of show.
Of course, yes. And you were playing in the Cuckoo Lounge, which makes sense.
Yes, so Dr. We belong in the Cuckoo Room. Yeah.
And going to assume we're moving over to where you say?
We have, well, I'm not going to spill it, but we have some
things in
some
the works.
Already, you know, they want us.
Yeah.
We're in as soon as we're able to put the show in there. And I'm on a lecture tour, so we're on a slight hiatus till I get back in town.
So how many shows a week or a month do you do?
Well, we've been doing like one a week on Friday nights and then at the Cuckoo Room.
Do you sell advance tickets or just whoever shows up?
Well, we do both. You can walk into the door, and we sell tickets online. And we have a website, so you can keep up with our schedule, www.cabaretofmiracles.com.
Got it. And it's, what, an hour and a half show with an intermission? Or how?
No, the show itself, the cabaret show, that's why we were doing it there, because they sell drinks and things. And the ticket
you
price...
You have to be 21 to get in?
Yes. The ticket price there, you got a free drink with your ticket, too, mm-hmm. So it's nice.
And seats about how many?
We were showing to 50 to 60 people, very mm-hmm. small venue. And but you are... And the ticket prices were a little bit high. But you get the show itself is about 50 minutes, mm-hmm. but there was about half hour of close up before, and the close up is really good. Merritt and I walk around through the audience doing some really spectacular close up before and after. So you really get about an hour and a half in character. Mm-hmm. We always stay in character before. We break character after the show and talk to people because they want to ask all sorts of questions.
Yeah.
And when I'm in character, I answer questions in character, which are sometimes crazy answers.
Now, how do you go about promoting? How do you market this?
Well, we've done a lot of marketing through the Internet, social media, tweeting, and we have a Facebook page. We listed in Atlanta and a lot of the free media like Creative Loafing and Access Atlanta websites, and they list our show. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done any really heavy monetary advertising yet.
Right.
But the social media, the Facebook and the Twitter, are doing a good job for us.
Well, that's what I was wondering. You know, we have Top Talent Productions that Jamie Salinas and I do, and we, you know, each time we have someone, we promote it through, you know, Arts Hound and the Convention and Tourism Bureau and everything, you know, just locally.
Right.
To try to let them know, and it's something that's going to be family friendly, you know, then as well. But yours is really a nightclub scene kind of a
single. That's right. We're doing the Indie Fringe Festival in August in Indianapolis. We've got about six or seven shows in two or three different theaters as part of this festival they have every year. And so we're going to let people know that it's a PG-13. It should be. We don't have any profanity, but we do have mature themes and adult, obviously.
Innuendos.
Yes.
Yeah. Double entendres. You know, I like the idea of having a different character. It seems like I remember either you and I talked or I was talking with someone about this before that was a John Carney idea. Not an idea of his necessarily, I'm sure, but by having different characters, you have different shows you can sell.
Well, possibly, too, but we worked hard on making this very funny. It's more about the show and the characters as much as the magic. The magic is very strong. There'll be several things in here magicians don't normally see, mm-hmm. some original stuff and some other things that aren't just standard fare. And then every standard trick we do, we've doctored up in our own style with our own characters. And that... It really, when you're writing something with a lot of double entendre and you try to get a sexual connotation out of something, it's amazing how you can take something, almost anything and
sure.
twist it into that. And so it's a delight to write this show.
Right.
We keep tweaking it and changing the script. It gets better and better.
So again, that's going to be in Atlanta, so just kind of watch the website. And
right. We're planning to take it on the road eventually, so we may be coming to your town.
Yeah.
In fact, you have a theater venue that's that seats anywhere from 75 to 200 people. Then contact us. We might be able to make a deal.
And they can get in touch with you how?
Well, you can also call the number and call Merritt Ambrose on the www.cabaretofmiracles.com, or you can also email me, dangarrett@aol.com.
Easy enough. Well, now getting back over then to the 4F that now you've emceed in the past. You're going to be emceeing one of the shows this year or not?
Well, I don't let the cat out of the bag, but yes, I am emceeing the penultimate show, but not as myself. Nobody knows this, but okay. The aforementioned doctor may make an appearance in that show.
Oh, cool. Okay. Because you were on the board, or have been? Or
yes, I am on the board.
On the board, for the ORAP over there. You and Mike Hilberger and...
Mike Hilberger, Mayor Yedid, Glenn Brown, Joan Caesar's the executive director, Obie's still the head forker, overall kicker, and Phil Wilmarth. I don't leave him out.
Right. For those who may not know what the head forker is, of course, this goes back to the days when we were in the Forks Hotel, and so Obie was one that was the forker, the head forker.
Right. And I don't know if you can come up with any type of sexual innuendo there. I can't imagine one.
I cannot think of what that came from. You know, it just made sense for the Forks to be called the forker.
That's right.
I guess all the people who came from there were little forkers.
That's right.
You know,
and they all had mothers.
That's right. Sure, they did too. Well, so you got all your things all set up, and it looks like it's we're going to be opening. What time do they open, by the way?
Don't have a schedule in front of me. As the doctor says, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
There we go. Dan Garrett, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, again a little bit later. Doctor. The doctor is in.
Auf Wiedersehen.
For now, it's Dan Garrett as Dr. Conundrum and Scotty Adler. Okay. All right, so we're over at Alex's place, and this is the place to go for ribs, I think. I love the garlic ribs. Steve, what do you think?
It was great. I prefer the dry ribs, but you can dip them in as much sauce as you want. They're great.
And also, by the way, as I go around to mention your name, just say your name so that way everybody knows who you are then.
All right, Steve Friedberg. I'm out of Philadelphia.
And you like the dry ribs?
Absolutely.
What do you think of
it? David Copperfield, and I thought that your ribs were very nice. You wouldn't let me eat any, but I got a chance to watch you eat them.
I got to lick your fingers.
Thank you.
My name is Bruce Kelver, and I just had the lobster. I compared it to the stuff out east, and this is much better than I get at home.
John Rockerbaum, and I cut my hair.
Dan Garrett, and I had the steak. Tastes like chicken.
I had the ribs taste like pig.
That's how we made nameless. They must have been funny.
It had potential.
And so much for that podcast.
Over it out.
Get a nice beat and you can dance to it.
Well, it looks like it's starting to fill up at least finally over here. We usually need to get here a little bit early, and we were at 5. It's about 6 right now, and the place is getting packed. Bruce, what number of convention is this for you?
You mean 4F convention?
As being a past president of the SA, you've been to several, but yeah.
By February, you're done with conventions. But this is number 5.
Wait, by February, you're done with conventions, so the SAM doesn't count.
Yeah. You start in July, you end in February.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Right.
This is number 5 for you, for Steve?
Yeah. This is my 3rd.
Patrick?
For the year or 4F?
No, I mean 4F convention.
This is number 9.
Gary?
16. First timer.
Well, we talked to Dan already over here, and Don Weiberg.
Darwin Martin sucks.
Ah, how are you?
Doing the podcast.
Hey, we're going to talk to Steve Bragazzi a little bit later over here. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, Scott?
Good. Congratulations. I'm glad you're going to be the guest of honor.
Yeah. How about it?
Are you excited or what?
This is called the bottom of the barrel.
You finally reached it. That's right. Rick Merrill's in the future. Perhaps he may be in the bottom again.
That's right. That's right.
Over there.
All right, man. Looking forward. We're going to spend some time together.
Okay.
And is that a Sharpie?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So they're picking up our cash room. Okay. Hey. I'm good. You're all good.
And yours also. I'm going to do these and then I'll come back and.
Okay. Good. So there's a question I was asking about, how many years, Don Weiberg?
I already answered.
What'd you say?
I already answered.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Asked and answered.
I'll give it back to you. I just need it for now.
Fine. I didn't remember it.
Wait, this is going to be great for you, isn't it?
It's the listeners who have to put up with it.
You're never going to ask us to do this again. Oh, do you want to go out and eat? Yeah, now we got to work.
Can you split this in about 8
800 parts and put them back together on your computer?
Done that, been there. Don't want to do that again. But our interview was so interesting, it was worth my 12 hours of time.
You really think people want to know what we're eating?
What did you have for dinner, by the way?
That's yes, right.
Did you have Adams or Eve's?
Yes. So you were saying that, Dan, you don't care that to post on Facebook what people have to eat.
I did mention the fact that I don't really care to see pictures of people's food on Facebook.
And why
Unless
not?
Unless you get to eat it, right?
You feel like you're being left out or something, or what?
Who wants to see pictures of other people's food, right?
What'd you have tonight, Dan?
Tasted like chicken, whatever it was.
Oh, okay.
We don't care.
Most of us had the ribs. Gary, you had lobster. How was the lobster?
Wait a minute, excuse me. There were seven of us, and two of us had the ribs.
Yeah.
Well, I had ribs.
Most.
That's
ribs.
Most.
Three. I had
There's
it's
your
ribs
for you.
That's right.
There you go.
Thank you, Congressman.
So how was the lobster? I mean, you know, here in the middle, we're by the Erie Canal. So how is that?
It was okay. I mean, the filet steak, medium rare, was very good.
BP hasn't been around this area yet, so the seafood's pretty good.
So tell us, Bruce, about something coming up with Apple. It's going to be a cool magic app.
Oh, yeah, they tell us everything.
But anything that you're going to be, I mean, you got that you've noticed as far as some cool apps, you know, that are on the.
Seriously, my column in MUM is written 2 weeks before the deadline. So I always look for the latest and greatest. And I look over about 20 or 30 apps every month and end up with one or two because most of them are crap. Most of them are ripoffs of other ones and so forth. But we've got some good ones coming up soon. I will recommend the Jawbone Bluetooth speaker.
Got one. Yep.
They're unbelievably good. They cover a whole room.
Yeah. Good quality.
Really good quality. Rich tone. Yeah. They're excellent.
And they run about 175?
The small one's 150. Yeah. The big one's 300. I recommend the big one.
And they're Bluetooth, too.
They're Bluetooth. So you can run your whole music from your iPhone.
So if you get the Carl Andrews sound cues or something kind of like that and then use this.
Yeah, you could do it. If you wire it in.
I'm using a Bluetooth speaker now with show cues, and it's about the size of half of this glass. Little round thing. It's rechargeable.
It's not a Jawbone, though, is it?
No. It's a Super Era Supernova. It's just a little Bluetooth speaker. It's round, like a little cylinder. You know, it's about, again, about the exact size of about half this glass.
Our radio listeners will be nice to know that. The exact size.
Well, no, it's more about this size. Can you see that
glass up to the microphone?
Yes.
Put it on my hands. All right, for dessert, anybody want to eat Cheerios, Fruit Loops, Corn Pops, Apple Jacks,
I've got that.
Krispies.
That's a great little fruity tray. I mean, that's
a cereal
killer. Is that
in the Dan Garrett lecture?
It is. It's
oh,
it's
my God.
It's a mentalism effect with cards that you can do for four-year-olds.
Right. And it's great for restaurant work, I'll tell you, from personal experience.
Love cards.
They don't understand what
they
cards are.
They know what cereal. That's right.
Exactly.
It is a good idea.
And by the way, Carl Andrews show cues, the best app for controlling your music. I used it for a week at the Magic Castle. It never failed me. Never failed me.
I use it in my lectures last year and this year. I use it all the time. I use it.
By the remote.
Dr. Conundrum uses it.
Yeah, buy the remote for it. It's well worth it.
Right. Yeah. Nope. I
and then lose the remote and buy it again like I did.
Buy the Bluetooth. Get the remote, buy the Bluetooth speaker, and just marry it to the Bluetooth device and just use your iPhone. You can also leave the iPhone to give cues to someone who's working the sound for you. The cue sheets on the show cues is amazing. For someone who doesn't know your music, you can put specific music cues with the program so they can see when he says such and such, then you play this music.
And I, the reason I like the remote is because I only use a few pieces of music in my show. And the things that I use the music for involve a certain table. So I put the remote right on the table. So when I go to remove the table, it's connected to the table. So that when I move the table, I just hit the button.
Yeah. I used to use the remote, much and I don't use it anymore because it wasn't surefire every
have good things.
Every time. I used the remote, and it wasn't surefire every single time.
Mine was. So it's called batteries.
I put the buttons on it. I put the iPhone.
It's called dueling text.
Okay, listen to Bruce. He'll never lead you astray, I promise.
No, so what do you... So you do it by...
I tried to say, but you kept interrupting.
What was the name of the teleprompter program again?
P-R-O-M-P-T-R.
Like you put the remote on top of your table. I put the iPhone
P-R-O
on my
what?
Table, and I can see everything right there. And then I put my speaker over there, way over there. It's perfect. Works perfect.
You going to use it this week?
No. I'm going to use Jimmy's. I'm going to have to depend on Jimmy C and a CD.
That's what I did too.
So we'll see if Jimmy C is as good as the C.
That's the remote.
Well, that's all, folks. Tune in next week for more exciting banter and chatter.
So you know what? Whatever works for you. You know?
That's right.
But I can't imagine anybody going to sit down and actually listen to this garbaggio.
They don't sit down. They listen to the car.
Yeah.
Well, do they?
I don't know. They used
to do. What you do edit listen? This, don't you?
You can edit a lot of stuff out of this.
I'm just thinking if you have to do that Rocky and Bullwinkle behind it, it would be perfect.
Hey, Rock, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
You know, something like that.
Thanks, Bullwinkle. Did you ever meet Jay Ward's brother?
On three different occasions.
He was an amateur magician.
Did not
really.
Yeah. Jay Ward of Bullwinkle and Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Sure.
That was an homage to his brother, who would bug him all the time to show him magic tricks. Yeah, so he did that just for him. Well, I met him at Tannen's convention one year. Jay Ward's brother.
If you take Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle J. Moose, the J was a direct homage to Jay Ward.
Yeah.
I said the J was silent.
rarely.
In honor of Silent Mora. Boy, that's a long way to go.
You should have picked a box lunch.
And the people that listen to your podcast will have no idea who Silent Mora is.
Two people, maybe.
Two.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, really?
Okay.
How are you?
I think it's time. Very good. Thank you, guys. Okay. We're going to head out of Alex's over here if we can. Thanks a lot. Scotty out.